If you will turn to the 24th chapter of Exodus, then you can follow me as I read it. Beginning in the first verse, "And now the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to the Lord." Now I'd like to stop right here and start preaching, but I'm going to read this. "You and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him." So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments and the things that he had said. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words of the Lord which he has said we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and they rose up early in the morning, and they built an altar. That's another message right there, at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "Thus the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." Then Moses went up, and also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. And they began to see the glory of the Lord God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in a clear moment. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, the Lord laid not his hand to hurt them. And so they were able to see God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me." I want to start preaching right now. And I want you to come to me on the mountain and be, that is, wait there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law of commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his minister Joshua. Keep that in mind. And Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have a difficulty, let him go to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, waiting on Holy Spirit's directives. The sight of the glory of God was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I'd like to speak to begin with on the call of the Holy Spirit to the church today. The church today is living in lower planes, and there's a lot of people that cannot come up higher, because the Lord cannot allow them closer to Himself than they are. There are people that live very far away from God, but they are His people. The first thing I would like us to notice is that this chapter is spoken to God's people. It's not speaking to people of the world. They were separated from the world. They were taken out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness. They belonged to the Lord. It was all part of God's inheritance. And so God's word this morning is to His people. And in His people, we're going to find people living at different levels that they have. A lot of people don't understand anything about the glory of God. They don't understand anything about what it is to walk with God or be with God. They don't understand at all what happens in their heart and their soul and their mind when these things take place. Sometimes they just leave church and they're like, huh? They don't understand what took place. And so many times the messages are right above their head. I have been conscious of the fact that the Lord will never speak to me to where I am. He'll always speak to me to where I'm going. The words of the Lord in our life always put a demand on our life to move forward. God will never be stagnant in our life. Holy Spirit will never speak into our life where we're at. He already did that before, and we're just now getting to where we should have been a long time ago. And the speed of your development is determined by our obedience to the instructions that the Holy Spirit gave us the last time He spoke to us. Some people think that the Holy Spirit just chats to you all day long. No, He doesn't. What He does do is chat to you until He gives you an instruction. And once He gives you the instruction, the voice is going to go silent until we perform it. And as soon as we bring it into obedience, and as soon as we walk into what He told us, we'll hear His voice again giving us further instruction. And the only other time that we will hear His voice is if we miss it, and if we didn't get the instruction clear enough, or if we turn off the way to the left or to the right, then we'll hear a voice. And curiously enough, it's not ahead of us. We should be following Him. So if He's behind us, we've missed Him. We need to get back, turn back, and we hear a voice behind us saying, "This is the way." What is the way? Turning back. Turning back to where we're following Him and not He's following us. And we have to understand that in the body of Christ, there are demands that God puts on us that we don't like. There are demands that God puts on our spirit to force us to grow into Him. There's a call of the Spirit that's always saying, "Come up higher, come up higher, come up higher. The level that you're at is great, but I want you at another level now. You've been on this mountain long enough. You've sat in that chair long enough. You've been doing nothing long enough. I want you busy for me. I own you. I bought you. I redeemed you with the price. You belong to me. I want you serving me. I want you loving me. I want you active toward me. I want you proactive, and I don't want to have to be disciplining you all the time. I don't want to have to be shoving you from the back. I want to be leading you. Where are you? I expect you to be walking with me. I have moved ahead. Where are you? Come up. Come up higher." Now, God is always higher. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. God Himself is higher. He lives in heaven, and He never placed heaven under the earth. He never placed heaven in the depths of the sea. He never placed heaven in the low place. Heaven is in a high place. It's on the mountain, on the sides of the north. Heaven is in the place of the stars. It's above the stars. God is above all things, and everything He created is from Him on down. Nothing rises above Him. Nothing sits upon God. Nothing is above Him. God is above all things. He is the first. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the life. He is the beginning of life. He brings death. He gives life. He wounds and He heals. God is the same. He never changes. He is above all. And when His call comes to us, He's not going to say, "I want you to go back from where you are." There is no turning back with God. Everything moves. The whole universe moves. They're beginning to realize that there's more and more distance between the stars, because everything started from one place and went out further and further and further away. And it's taken scientists a couple thousand years to get smart enough to realize that their stupid theories that everything evolved just because it did is crazy. And that God began something, threw it out there, and it just goes further and further away and more distance, because God has enough space out there for all the galaxies He intended in His mind to put out there. And the Lord is one who expands, continuously expands. The glory of the Lord continuously expands. There are things about God that not even the angels still know. They are still in revelation. The ages of the ages will not finish to give us the revelation and the fullness of God is how great He is. We are down in the valley. We are down in the areas of just constant walking. We are carnal Christians, many of us. And many of us have learned to walk beyond that. And in chapter 24 of Exodus, we are going to see the walk of people who are represented in this chapter. And remember that in the chapter 4 of Revelation, there was a call. He said, John said, "I heard the voices of a trumpet. And it sounded very loud and it sounded very clear. And as I deciphered the sound, it was words that were coming to me saying, 'Come up higher, come up here, come up, come up, come up.'" There was a sound of a voice, and he said, immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately I left this carnal world, I left the natural world, and I was in a world that had nothing to do with everything I was accustomed to. Immediately my spirit left this realm of Patmos and of judgment and of prison and of confinement, and I was in the world of the Spirit. And he took me up high enough to be able to see in the sequence of time things to come. Not things that had been and not things that are, but things that are to come. And he was able to be taken in the world of the Spirit. We as Christians, God wants to take us in the world of the Spirit. We're still fussing over whether we're going to be captive to a substance or not. We're still captive with the fact that, Lord, I don't like doing what you've asked me to do. We need to get past that. We need to have a burnt offering. We're going to see that here in a minute. We need to have on a moment of encounter with God where we see ourselves. And I trust today that you will see yourself in one of these levels of Christianity in this chapter. I'm not saying that there are five. I'm saying that I see five in chapter 24 of Exodus. I'm saying that here are those that God called up to the mountain, and he distinctly said that not everybody could come to the top. Some could come to the middle, some could come to the foot of the hill, and some had to stay in the camp and could not come out. And the reason why some people are in church and God puts a bubble around you and everybody's lost in worship, they're worshiping the Lord, tears are falling down their face, and you're wondering, what's happening to that guy? Because nothing's happening with you, because you cannot come up. You're not ready to come up. You have to be ready to come up into the glory. There are things that have to happen in your life that you have to embrace and let God work with to enable you, to give you the capacity to handle God. And let me say that I'm not saying man handling God. I mean the capacity to stand God. The capacity to be able to endure, the capacity to be able to stand, the capacity to be able to absorb, the capacity to be able to not die in the experience but live. God is awesome. God is wonderful. God is beautiful. God is tremendous. Looking back at the chapter, we find that the first thing that God is saying, we hear the clarion call, come up. The clarion call has come up. Regardless of what stage our life is in, described in this chapter, I want to tell you that God is calling you up higher than the stage you're in. He is just saying, I want you to quit delving where you are, and I want you to quit just staying where you are, being comfortable, and refusing to let pressure be put on your life. One of the things that I've noticed God uses a lot in life is pressure. Pressure. That's how diamonds are made. That's how you can refract light and become beautiful, is pressure. Let me tell you, there's tremendous pressure. When suddenly everybody's prophesying and you're just listening, that's great. But suddenly now, pastor calls you by name, you've never prophesied before, and said, just stand up and prophesy. Now you're going to feel some pressure you've never felt before. If you're used to singing songs and strumming a guitar up here, and you're used to singing your comfortable little songs, and now you're requested by some pastor that walks over to you and says, I want you to start singing the song of the Lord with words you've never sung before, you're going to feel pressure you've never felt before. Because pressure is what forces us into the next level. Pressure is what God uses to force us out of our comfort zone into a zone of a spirit. And let me tell you that although it seems very negative and we think, oh my, this is terrible. You know, God just puts pressure on me. How can human beings live like this? Why does God do this to people? You know why? Because he sees how nice he is. He sees how good he is. He sees how good it gets the closer it is to him. And he wants that for us. He doesn't want us far away from him. God says, I am a jealous God. I want you. I want to possess you. I want everything that's in you. I don't like you taking 10 years to go from A to B. We've got Z to go to. We've got a long way to go. I want your heart. I want to possess it. I want it to be mine. I have a vision for you of the nations. I wrote that destiny in your heart. And you're still 40 years old and we haven't gone anywhere yet. I've got to prepare you. I've got to restore you. I've got to heal you. And I've got to move you forward. And I've got to get you on a plane, a boat, or a train. And I need to get you where you need to go. Because there's people out there crying out and only you have their message. We seem to feel that a message is a sermon you concoct. No. A message is born in the heart of God. Look at the chapter again and you will find that Moses came and declared to the people what the Lord had said to him. The message of Moses wasn't a concoction of his own invention. The words that he came to give were words that came out of heaven. We don't need words that come out of books. Read books for your own instruction. Read books for your own enlightenment. Read books, most of all, read the book. Some of you are bracing and say, this guy's getting aggressive. Well, God's aggressive. God's aggressive. The church in America is too asleep. God needs to wake us up. We're too comfortable. Way too comfortable. I love comfortable chairs, but I'm not talking about that kind of comfort. I'm talking about a comfort that just stays on the plane that you've been at for 10 years and refuses to let God move you on forward. And so Moses had words that came from God. He brought them down to the people. The people heard that they were from God. His message was from God. God had a lot of things in those messages that were hard, but they said, we will do it. Speak what God tells you. Now let me tell you that this already begins to describe a certain people that Holy Spirit is already prepared. Why? Because the people that are carnal Christians and insist in living the level they are and do not want the Holy Spirit to push them forward, put pressure on pastors and ministers to minister what they want to hear, and they do not want them to tell them things that they don't want to do. And so here Moses tells them things they couldn't like, they didn't want. But they said, we will do them. Why? Because Holy Spirit was at work. So there's a call of the Holy Spirit to come up forward. Now I want to begin to look at these groups of people that we have here in the Christian walk. And not only are they groups of people, but they represent levels of experience in any one of our Christians' life. All of us have gone through these stages. They're more like stages and levels than they are experiences, but all of us have to walk through these. And God just doesn't want us stopping at these. But let us see it. First of all, in the first verse, we see different people and personalities here. And we're going to mention them because they represent different groups of people and Christians in different areas of their development. And the first was Moses. Moses was to come up unto the Lord, and he was to come up all the way into the presence, get lost in the cloud, and come down with words from God. He was the first one. Then God mentions Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and there was Hur too, and the 70 elders of Israel. Then there was the congregation. And so now we have several different people. And the Lord said, I will allow you to come all the way. I will allow Joshua to come halfway. I will allow Aaron and Hur, or Nadab and Abihu also, to come up to the foot of the mountain. They can come up just a little way. And I want the congregation of Israel to not dare come near this mountain. They don't have the development. They don't have the capacity. They don't have the cleansing. They don't have the area in their life prepared to come and meet with me in any area. They cannot get that close. And it says that thunders and lightnings and fire and like a volcano begin to spill out of the top of that mountain. God came down. There's a cloud there. Now, I want to tell you, you have to have a real serious development with God to walk up in the middle of that. God surrounds himself with lightning and flashings and thunders and fearful things. I mean, none of us would walk outside when lightning bolts are hitting the ground just around us. You're not going to walk out there and say, what a nice day. Just by nature, we're going to try to get as far away as we can. But when you come through the lightning and through the fire, suddenly the angels are there to minister to you. Then you come into His goodness. You come into His grace. You come into His mercy. You come into His person. Then God begins to reveal Himself to you. And you're going to find it's wonderful. And you're wondering, God, why do you do all these things to keep everybody out? Because God knows that there's only certain people that can handle Him. But God also knows He wants all of us to handle Him. God knows that in the end, all things will be brought into Him. God knows that every person, everything created on earth will be brought into Him. All things are for Him and in Him and through Him. And He will be the center of everything in our life. Before our life is over. Before our life is over, it will be brought into Him. Before our life is over, it will be brought into the intensity of the fire of His glory. God wraps Himself in fire. Just such a vehement flame, such a strong flame that you would fear to ever walk close to it. It gets so hot that it will singe your face just to get near enough to it. That is God. Why does He do this? Because He is a consuming fire. But those that are prepared and have a capacity, those that have endured the fire, those that have endured the fire in their own life, can walk into it as Moses and discover that this fire burns but doesn't consume. You can actually walk in it and it won't harm you. You can walk in it and all it does is burn off of you all the bondages that were there. All it does is burn the devil out. All it does is burn the flesh out. All you've got is a burnt sacrifice. But in it your spirit comes into God. Because the fire, which at first seems to be impenetrable, is the barrier for those who are not ready and called to not be able to get through. But those who are fearfully called to a higher walk with God have to endure the fire. That is why God has three areas of cleansing: the water, the blood, and the fire. And very few endure the fire. God is a consuming fire. A lot of people say, I want God. Watch your words. There's a lot of God. But there has to be almost none of us in order to have all of God. There's got to be very little flesh left by the time we meet with the Lord, because He is the God Almighty. So let's see this group of people and let's see this level really quickly. Okay, the first level, let's start with the congregation. Congregation of Israel was down in the valley, and the level of congregation of God's people represent the people that have very little spiritual development. Their lives revolve around themselves and their families. Their walk is earthly and their occupations mundane. And they worship from afar. You know, one of the scriptures that comes to our mind is in Exodus 33:9. You will remember when the cloud of glory of God's presence came and dwelt on the tabernacle of congregation, where people could meet with God. Anybody could come to meet with God. Anybody could. However, they were frightened by that column of fire. You don't just walk into it. But it says that Moses walked right up into the door of the tabernacle, into the fiery pillar, into the cloud that hovered it, and they could hear him and God having conversations. Joshua went in with him. In fact, after Moses left, Joshua stayed and remained yet before the presence of the Lord. However, the scripture says in the very next verse that all the people saw the cloud, they saw the fiery presence, they saw Moses go in, and they all worshiped at their own tent entrance. They never left their home. They never left their world. They never left the world of the natural to go into the world of the spiritual. Do you know how many churches don't know how to come from the natural realm into the world of the spirit? We know here, bless the Lord, you know, the church doesn't even start until we break through the realm of the enemy and the flesh and the natural and the carnal mind, and into the world of the Spirit, where He begins to have His way, where He begins to manifest Himself, where the words we hear are from Him, where the words that come are issued out of heaven. Meeting doesn't even start. You can't even start till you're halfway up the mountain. Meetings don't start below. These people couldn't minister to God. They couldn't even minister to the minister. These are people that just begin. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've just been saved, praise the Lord. It's a great ride. They're just newborn babies. And what do we expect out of a baby? What does God expect out of a baby? Nothing. But you know what God does expect? When you're 40 years old and you're still acting like a baby and you're still whining because they don't give you a bottle, something's wrong. That's like some Christians in the church. 40 years later, we just want God to leave us alone, leave us comfortable, not put any pressures or demand on our life. And God's saying, come up higher. Amen. Come up higher. The minimum sacrifice that is required was what Moses did when he built an altar. Let me say that regardless of how young your Christian experience is with God, we have to build altars. But sometimes you need others that are more developed than you to build them for you, like Moses did. And this altar that was built is an altar that has to be built in all of our life to even get started. And that's the altar of the burnt sacrifice, which represents the death of Jesus Christ, the shedding of His blood. And that blood was sprinkled on the altar and the special things, and it was also sprinkled on the people. And that is the first level of cleansing, really, the cleansing in the blood of Jesus. We cannot come into the presence of our Father without being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I would just like to say this, even for an initial experience of those who aren't very advanced in God and aren't very mature in God, I just want to say this to you. You cannot come really to a meeting without having the cleansing of the blood of Jesus in your life. Now, so many times we are in a service, the Lord will, let's just say the Lord visits the place and there's a beautiful anointing and God is moving. You will not be able to enter it into it if the daily things of your life are not cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Being cleansed in the blood of Jesus doesn't just represent salvation when we first get saved. It represents a daily washing in the blood of Jesus. Moses sprinkled the people so that God, when He came in His presence on the mountain, wouldn't destroy them. We are covered by the blood. God is holy. He cannot stand sin. And so when we come to God, many times our attitude as Christians, we just come in with all the filth of the world that we've been in, the thoughts and the thing. You might have been yelling at somebody down the street because they just crossed you. Now you sit down in church, you plop yourself down in a chair, start singing, holy, holy. God's not going to be listening to you. You're not going to sense the presence of God. You're going to be isolated from everything that's happening. And God says, I refuse to put my hand on them, not to destroy them. I let them eat and drink. In other words, God will let you partake of the service. But we do so to our own harm. That's why Paul said many are asleep. And many think that that means death. And yes, it can be. But that is why the church is asleep today. You don't hear songs on the blood. You don't see people applying the blood. You don't see people walking in the cleansing of the Lord on a daily basis in their life. And that's why the church is asleep. God is not there. His anointing is not there. The presence of God is not there. And we need the presence of God. Amen. We're all bankrupt without Him. Amen. We're all bankrupt without the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're all bankrupt without God. We are all bankrupt without what He has to give us. So we need to learn how to wash. Sometimes it doesn't take more than just a minute when you sit down in church. Instead of looking around at somebody that has a hairdo that looks sort of funny, just bow your head and say, God, I want You to wash me. Wash me from the criticism that I've spoken this week. Wash me from the thing. Would You show me what things need to be cleansed? Because I don't know. Listen, if you think we live without sinning, you are wrong. We sin every day in some way or another. And we fall short of the glory of God. But we don't want to fall short of the glory of God. We want to come up into the glory of God. And so the first elementary level is Moses knew that if God was going to come down and visit him, he needed to cleanse the people. And so he sprinkled all the people. The first thing there needed to be is a sacrifice. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God. Because when he died, the veil was rent and we can now come into the presence of God. But it's not honky-dory day as usual. It is something where we come in with a heart that is reverent before the Lord. And we say, God, I want to experience You today. I want to know You today. Whether you're in a first level, whether you've never been born again, doesn't matter. We need to experience God on an ABC level. These people that were on the first level could not come up even to the foot of the mountain. They could not come up halfway to the mountain. They could not walk inside the glory of God. They could not hear His voice. They were way out there somewhere in the valley. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Let us never despise God's people that are undeveloped. Let us never despise someone that raises a hand at the wrong time or doesn't raise it at all or doesn't do whatever because they're just babies starting out. And if we are kind to babies and we don't put demand on babies, we shouldn't do that to God's babies. God loves us. He takes care of us gently. He cares for us. He loves us. He wants us. God isn't this consuming fire that's waiting to burn on you. That has nothing to do with it. What has to do is that when you get to that stage, you want that fire. When you get to that stage, you're calling out to God for that fire. When you get to that stage, you want more of God regardless of what it costs. Regardless of what it takes, you want more of God. Why? Because He puts His Holy Spirit that cries out within you, I want more of You, Father. I want more of You, Father. So these people are a level that walk far away from God.
In some cases, it's right. If they've been there too long, it's not so good. And it represents the salvation experience. And I would just like to say this morning that we don't need to stay at that level. We can grow pretty fast if we obey the Holy Spirit within months. I've seen Christians walk all the way up to halfway the mountain in just months in their life. That's not an indictment against us. All of us have a certain rate of growth. God just doesn't want us to stay forever at the same level. He wants us to grow. And so they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. The peace offerings is what, for this first level of people, it means that you come to a full consciousness that God has accepted you. You're accepted in the Beloved. You have peace with God. Everything is okay at your level. God is going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your needs. He's going to change you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to heal you. He's going to do all the things that you need because He's a precious Father and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, on occasion, these people present themselves before the Lord, before His mountain. I'd like to go to the second level. And the second level was the 70 elders. These people are a little bit different. They came out from the congregation. But the Lord had said to Moses, I want you to pull out of the congregation those people that seem to have leader qualities. You know, they're always helping other people. They're always not just into themselves. They're into somebody else. I want you to call them and let's do something. I am going to impart into them the Spirit that I gave to you. The Spirit and power that I put into you to govern, to counsel, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, I'm going to bring that and I'm going to put it on them. And so here's the 70 elders that were called by the Lord and put in this area to do that. And they represent the company and the church that have been separated, consecrated, and filled with the Holy Spirit and now are willing to do business with God. Isn't that good? They're willing to do business of God. They're helpers now. They're not just people that sit in church. They're people that come to church and help. You'll see them ushering. You'll see them taking care of things, cleaning up things, handing out clinics. They're helpers to the leaders that are there. They are the people that are called forth and begin to take on a situation in their own life that's more than just themselves, and they're focused on the Lord and the things of the Lord. They have received impartation from God through the ministry that they are under and the Spirit that is on them to serve and minister the people. Now listen to this. The first group ministers to themselves, their families. The second ministers to the people. God is developing now into an area where they can minister to the people. They can come up a little ways toward God. They can experience God a little bit more now. These are the people that at that point could see the cloud. They could see the fire. And God said, don't you let them come any further out of curiosity to see just what this is all about. They're not ready for this. Just keep them down there. They can't minister to me. They've got to minister to the people. Just have them ministering to the people. And so you're the ones taking things to somebody's home that your leader would ask you to do. You're the one doing errands. You're the one serving the people. Now, all of us, in a way, serve the people. We never quit doing that. It's just that we move on from glory to glory. We move on from elements of glory into other glories. And so God wants us to come into a place where His Spirit comes upon us and there's impartation from the ministry to empower us to minister to the people. You are now licensed, not by some paper that signs that says you're ordained or whatever. We're not talking about man stuff. We're talking about God stuff. Ordinations are really a God thing. The paper's just for government purposes. But the truth of the matter is that when you have hands laid on you by instructions of Holy Spirit and you are separated and consecrated and allowed now to minister to people within the area that you are given, you are now moving into eldership. And we call them elders, we call them deacon, board members, whatever it is that we serve in, whatever capacity we serve in, we are now serving the people. And as they minister to the people, they can come into prayer meetings where the Holy Spirit is released and they can begin to experience God in a whole new level. These are the people that can begin to prophesy to the people. They can begin to give words to the people, always under the supervision of the ministry. And they did so with Moses' time. These people could not operate outside of Aaron and Hur. They could not operate outside of those who were set over them. And their idea is to find out, their mission was to find out what the problems were in the church and not solve them or try to. They had to find out what the problems were and bring them to this other group that was more developed than they were. Why? Because they had a different anointing. They had grown to a different level. How is this level? God said they can worship me not just where the people do without any understanding, but I'm going to begin to open the heavens over them a little bit. They can come up to the foot of the mountain and they can worship me there. They can praise me there. I'll accept their praise. I'll accept their worship, and I will cleanse them with blood. But now, there was others like Aaron that had to be cleansed by water and by blood because they were now separated, and this is the third group now. These are the people that have to have levels of sanctification and consecration and washing of the renewing of their minds through the Word of God to be able to, for God to accept their praise and their worship. Listen, there's no reason why we should sit back on our chair and envy somebody for what they have. And then try to destroy them so they don't have it either to bring them down to your level. Don't do that. What you need to do is say, God, I am willing to pay the price that they paid. And I want to move forward in you. There's no limitations. You don't have acceptation of people, of persons. You don't say no to one and yes to another. We're all accepted in Christ. God, I'd like to have those anointings that's on that person. You know that person today that opened up wide open to the Holy Spirit and got lost in God? I want that too. Lord, would you develop me so I can have that? So that I can come into your presence like that? So that I can stand up and be anointed when my words speak and not just a class message and words fall on the ground? I want your Spirit to pick them up and move it. I don't want to destroy them. Thank you for their anointing. Chances are, if you thank God for the anointing that's on one person, He will have them imparted into you. That's always how it happens. In fact, the devil will always make you envy the person that was the individual God chose to impart what they've got to you. Say, God, I want to grow. I want to move on with you. I want to move up the mountain. I want to go up the mountain. But see, the demands are higher. God doesn't just let you sing a song and then sit down. The demands are higher to move higher in God. And so you have to put up with it. You want to be an Aaron? You got to put up with some of the training. You see, God has to move us through the fire. God has to move us through the things and pay the prices that God asks you to pay. I don't know what He's going to ask of you. He's not going to ask what He asks of me. But here's a people who can minister to God and minister to people. They're developed, they're anointed, they're consecrated, they're separated, and people put their hands on them. There's a fourth level. Do you have time? Does your spirit have patience to go on? There is a fourth level in this scripture, and that's the Joshua Company. Oh, I love the Joshua Company because they're the ones that can go all the way up, halfway up into God, where some of the men and women of God have been up there paramount on the mountains of God. They're the ones that can come up to them. Now listen to this. How do they get there? The secret is in the verse here that says very clearly that Joshua ministered unto Moses. He served Moses. Some serve themselves, some serve the people, some minister to God and to the people, and others minister to the men and women of God. God puts them underneath them, He puts them right by them, and they serve them. Some don't survive it, but it doesn't matter. The fact that you were with them means that everything they had is now yours. I'll get to that, won't get to the bottom of this. But some of you are going to find hope in what I'm telling you. Some of you are going to find your place here. But let me tell you something about Joshua. He was given a breaker anointing. The reason why he could come that high in God is because he was a warrior. He was one of these worship warriors. He was one of these people that could stand in the presence of God and stay in the tabernacle. But if Moses came over to him and said, Joshua, I've got a problem. What's your problem, Master? I've got a whole company of Amalekites that are coming down hard on us. We're going to have a lot of people dead here. He said, that's okay. You leave it to me. Picks up his sword, calls up on a bunch of others that are from the Joshua Company, and they went out there and they begin to slay people. They walked out in the middle of opposition. They're not the ones that run out of a meeting when the devil shows up. They're the ones that stand wherever they are, whether on the platform or down on the ground, and they start serving Him. What for? They start facing Him right in the face. They start declaring what they need to declare. They start to announce and praise what God is going to do. They are the ones that have the breaker anointings. Those are the ones that have the impartation of God and Moses on their life to walk through the valley of the shadows of death and not be killed. They are the ones that bring deliverance and blessing and victory to the people. They are the ones that with one song can break the atmosphere so that everybody can enjoy God. They are the ones that have had to endure walking with a man or woman of God and put up with all that demand and all the demands that God would put them through and live through that. And when I say live through that, those of you that have never been there don't have a clue what I'm saying. When I say live through that, I mean survived it. But here the Joshua Company are people that never shrink away from a battle. They're people that can go through in the teeth of the difficult for their own life, for their family, for the people of the church, and they're doing intercession in the back while the rest of them are fighting it out because they have a breaker anointing. They're the ones that never turn back. They're the ones so full of faith because they've been by Moses that when a whole group of people go out into the promised land and see all the giants and the opposition, they came back and say, "We can do this. We can do it because God is for us. I've watched them do it in the valley. I watched them do it in the hills. He can do it right now. Let's break this thing and have a campaign." Those are the Carlos Anacondia. They can go in cities that are full of witchcraft. And within 5 days of his campaign, none of them can operate. And most of them get converted and delivered of their devils. That's the Joshua Company. Company of evangelists. I don't care about titles or offices. I am talking about people as they grow up in God. That wherever they are, they break through. They don't shrivel up. "Oh God, all this is happening to me. Get up and do something about it." Those people who dare to believe. Those people that have the guts from God to walk through the impossible. Those who don't wrinkle up when their knees don't work and their thighs give out with pain and get up and minister to all of us so that we can receive from God when they receive nothing but pain. That's a Joshua generation and much more. They're the ones that can sit down at the piano. When they start playing, demons start flying and the atmosphere breaks and changes. They strum a few things on strings and things begin to happen in the invisible world. Why? Because they've bought the place through the things that they've gone through. They've lied down in the presence of Jesus, having to put up with Moses all that time. Somebody here is getting that. Now, I'm not trying to put men and women of God in a bad light. I'm just trying to tell you that God anoints the worst of people. And the higher the anointing, the worse they are to live with. In this level of the Joshua Company, it says that Moses arose and his minister, the one that ministered to him, the requirements for their position in God were much higher than the spiritual development of others. And I just want to say that these are the servant to servants. These are the ones that minister to ministers. These are the ones that have breaker anointings. They fight God's battle. They engage in spiritual warfare. And they overcome. These are what the Bible and in Revelation calls the overcomers. These are the ones that have been submitted and subdued over and over and pop right up again. They're like a ball that you push under the water in a pool, and when you let go of it, it's just going to come right back up regardless of how long you submit it underwater. They're the ones that cannot drown. They cannot sink. They have an invincible spirit. They have the spirit of Holy God in them. And it just survives every single thing that's thrown at them. It doesn't matter what they go through, financially, mentally, spiritually, naturally, physically. It doesn't matter what they go through. They have this overcoming spirit that comes out of them and breaks through everything and brings victory to them and God's people. Hallelujah. They have fellowship with God and they can stay before the Lord long hours. And they've learned how to wait in the presence of God without running. Most of us finish the services too early. And if the wave of the Spirit lifts, it doesn't mean He's gone. It just means He quit feeding you and wants to see if you're still hungry. If there's anybody hungry, He'll wave it again. And if there's someone still hungry, He'll move a wave again. Hallelujah. Joshua was Moses' servant. He departed not out of the tabernacle, and the cloudy pillar of God's presence descended, and he was in the midst of God's presence all that time. They apprehend the promises of God to come into His inheritance. They are warriors and conquerors. They can even interfere with the elements. These are the type of people that can speak to the stars and to the sun and have the world stop, coming to a screeching halt from its orbit and turn. That takes a lot of faith, folks. He didn't consider whether this could be done or not. He just did it. This is a company of people that don't put limitations on God and know that He can do whatever they need to do and stop the earth in its rotation. Now I'd like to speak of the last thing of this level that I can see here. They are successors. Because they ministered unto the minister, they succeed them when they're through, like Rod Parsley did in the case when Lester Summerall was taken to the Lord. He succeeded him because he was his servant. He followed him everywhere. He did everything for him. And normally these people get the impartation of succession like Elisha did from Elijah. These are the people that served into the servant. And because of it, the mantle is transferred on them. This is a company of people who see into the future. And they're not after the inheritance. They're not after the work. They're not after God's people. They're not after the anointing. They have been brought into a place in God where they served into that individual. And many of those individuals, many of these individuals never took over the work, but they succeeded them and the mantle came over them. It's just that God didn't want it in that place anymore, and they carry that anointing with them. These are the people that are carriers of the glory. These are people that are carriers of the presence. These are the people that are carriers. Why? Because what the Moses had, Joshua kept. And in the case of Joshua, he never fulfilled his destiny in assuming the succession of Moses' anointing on his life in the place where Moses was in the wilderness. The day God took him, God says to Joshua, I have a new place for you, but you're taking the old anointing with you. I'm shutting this place down. All of them that lived during the time of Moses are going out the window. They're going to die. But you are taking that anointing that you learned through much hurt and sacrifice. You are going to take the succession of that which walked in that man and had that man, and you're going to take it into another country, another people. He crossed the river and began the work of God in the invincible power of Moses, in the incredible power of God that was given unto him. So that is why these people don't covet the work. They covet the anointing on the person they're serving, and they're serving into that anointing. And when they do, it's given down to them. And during Moses' time, he could actually come into the presence of God. And that particular time in Exodus 24, he was allowed halfway up the mountain. God is calling us up higher. Where are the Joshuas? God is calling for Joshuas. God is calling for those that dare to allow Him to make you a worship warrior. These are the company of the Joshuas that represent people in the church in their walk and development with God. Okay, are you going to be patient enough to allow me to go to five? Mountain-type climbers, the Moses company. These are called to go up higher. These are the ones that can walk right into the presence of God. To do this, they're allowed to encounter God. They're allowed to walk into His presence. They're allowed to hear His voice. They're allowed to come face to face with Him and have many encounters that are life transforming. Many encounters that can be seen here or there when God moves on you with unparalleled anointings, with things that go way beyond the Joshuas. He had to be a Joshua too, but they go beyond the Joshuas into the realm of God. God said to Moses, listen to this now. In this chapter 24, God says to Moses, I want you to go up on the mountain. A cloud's going to come down, and I want you to wait. Let me tell you something. In the Christian walk, when God uses that word, I do not like it. Wait. Well, that was a piece of cake to Moses. You say, well, why? Because he endured 40 years of waiting for God to perform His word to him on the backside of a wilderness. burning up, feeding some sheep, doing what somebody else told him to do, his wife and her father-in-law. He was so broken. He was so undone. He was so out of it that when he finally had an encounter with God, 40 years of waiting. Let me tell you what happens during 40 years of waiting. You even forget what it was God said. You know what this man did when he had an encounter with God at the burning bush? He said, "You got the wrong man. I can't do this. I've been so destroyed through 40 years of being crushed and ground into powder. I've become one with the sand of the desert. There's nothing left of me. You got the wrong person. Are you saying I'm going to succeed who you said I was going to succeed? Am I going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Are you saying to me that I'm going to walk with great power and do signs and wonders? You got the wrong guy. Are you saying I'm going to stand before kings and presidents? Are you saying that I'm going to call down God's plagues upon a nation? Are you saying that I'm going to walk into the presence of God that's going to be visible and you're going to come down? And to establish my authority before the people, you're going to have me standing back at the foot of the mountain and you're going to be at the top and you're going to start yelling and thundering out of the mountain with words that people can hear and I'm going to answer you and you're going to answer me back because you hear me and I can hear you and everybody else can to establish the fact that I do hear you. And when I go up in a mountain, I just don't go up for a vacation. I go up to get instructions and I go up to meet with God. Here's the man that said, God, you got the wrong person. That cannot be. Listen, if something's in the realm of possibility, then God can't be involved. God can only be involved when something gets out of the realm of possibility and starts coming into the realm of impossibility. To what men is impossible, to God is absolutely possible. He fed them for 40 years in the wilderness without any train loads of food. He gave them water in the wilderness. He made their shoes last. He made their clothes last. He gave them even meat when they wanted it. Oh, I want to tell you, you can't keep meat over 3 days without it getting really bad, and you're only going to end up with all kinds of problems physically, which they did. It's best just to let God feed you with what He wants and not ask Him, mess with Him about feeding you with what you'd like to be fed with. Amen. So Moses is saying, God, I am so broken. I am so bust. My faith is just so exhausted. I'm the wrong guy. I really cannot believe I am the guy. Why? Because of the brokenness that's in this vessel. When you come to the place of absolute and total brokenness in your life, when the things that you have gone through have brought you to the place where you know that you know that you know that you're not the person that can do it, that without that man of God, without that promise, without those things, you cannot operate. It's all dead in the water. It can't be. You are going to have an experience in the wilderness of a fire that burns and does not consume. And something is going to begin to happen. And God's going to empower that which was totally broken. And God is going to bring back to life that which is dead. And the absolute bustedness of the person that says, it can't happen, is when God says it's going to happen. And some of you are right there at that point right now. And, oh, the anointing is really flowing in. You need, God's just healing you today, and He's telling you He's going to do it, just like He said He was going to do it. And all those years weren't wasted. They were preparation. Those were the 40 years of waiting in the wilderness. And you know, God says in His Word, that He told Moses to come up to the mountain and wait. He had no problem waiting 7 days. No problem. Because he had learned to wait 40 years. In contrast to Aaron. You see, Aaron couldn't wait 40 days. That's why they had the calf of gold that they worshiped. Moses took 40 days coming down. He didn't think he'd ever come down. So he wasn't patient enough to wait 40 days. Moses said, wait till I come back. He didn't. Folks, those kind of people in Moses' company know how to wait on God. They know how to wait until His timing. Sometimes it's 30 years later. Sometimes it's 40 years later. Sometimes it's 15 years later. God lives forever, so a day with Him is like 1,000 years. But He doesn't realize 1,000 years for us is like 1,000 years. Seems like it's never going to happen. It took God 40 years to bring Moses down to nothing to where he could be everything. Because this one was going to demand, put a demand on God. No man of God could bring 2 million people out of the into the wilderness and keep them alive 40 years. No human being could bring down fire from heaven. No human being could turn water into blood. No human being could do any of the things that happened. So God had to bring Moses down to nothing before he could do something. And many of us have not understood. And when the Word of God is impacting your spirit, you're saying, God, you got the wrong person. It's over with. I'm too ruined. Oh, I got news for ruined. Those are the people that walk with God. Those are the people that when you least expect it, will stand up strumming three little strings on something that breaks, and the anointing breaks, and God comes into a meeting. Those are the kind of people that can sit at a keyboard when they've played five notes. The Holy Spirit begins to honor and begins to move upon people and begins to sway their spirit into the world of the Spirit. Those that have learned to wait on God. Those that have gone through crushings and woundings and have learned what it's like to be totally undone. You talk about fire, they were totally undone. They're not there to have the anointing of succession. They are there to walk with God. These are the people that hear God. These are the people that know His will for a meeting because they've learned not just to listen to God, but to just let Him have His way with them. These are the people that walk in incredible realms of knowledge of the realm of the Spirit because they understand the ways of God. They understand God. They know God. These are the people whom God imparts Himself into. These are the kind of people that can walk into a realm that other people don't know anything about. These are the people that pay incredible sacrifices wherever in the world God sends them. God can make your home in a hostile wilderness for 40 years and take you over one mistake. But God took him into himself and he took him into his presence. And God has a glory waiting for people that are willing to come into that place. God has a walk for these kind of people because they've learned to wait. These kind of people are people that bring vision to a work, the vision of God. These are the people that can bring God's will to bear on earth and build the buildings God wants and not just serve God up with a building and ask Him to bless it. These are the people that see the pattern of things in heaven and bring it down to earth. They saw in heaven that God wanted a campus, and so now it's realistic. They see in the mountain of vision something that was hard to believe, but God said to Moses, I want you to take everything you've seen up here in the glory, and I want you to bring and put it down on earth. These are the people that whether they do anything or not, whether they can raise a trowel or grab a hold of a shovel or not, can make it happen because they bring the vision down from heaven. Underling leaders try to control ministry and tell them what to do, and board members that use their power to stop things that God has given the vision to. God doesn't give vision to board members. He gives vision to the leaders. God takes them up to the mountain, shows them what needs to be done. And God empowers everybody else to do it. That's why it said that God sent His Spirit and empowered people to work with gold, to work with silver, to work with precious stone, to work with leather, to work with all the kinds of things that they needed to do the temple of the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, they had no empowerment to do what they did. But from one day to another, they received a whole profession from the Lord, a whole thing that they received from God to know how to work with everything and do what they had to do to perform the vision and bring God's vision down to earth, God's will down to earth, the pattern of heavenly things down on earth, and bring a people who are a godly people, a spirit-filled people, a spirit-walking people, and a place into the realm of glory. Amen. These people are different than anybody else because they bring to earth the projects that are the Lord's. Do you know how many projects can come into our mind to do and we get people to do them and we wear people out? Do you know how many places the Spirit of the Lord has lifted off of them after they've gotten into their big building? You know why? Because it wasn't a God project. Do you know how many people churches have had to fold down because they can't pay their mortgage on a building? That's because it wasn't a God project. Because God pays off all His own mortgages. God is a debtor to no one.
If God says that if you borrow and don't pay, you're worse than the wicked, well then he's not wicked, so he's going to pay his debts. So these people that walk with God and that walk in the presence of God, they're involved in bringing God's will on earth. These are the people that bring glory down from the mount and bring it down to earth. They are carriers of the presence and the glory of God. In Exodus 34, 29 to about 34, you will remember that after Moses had been in the glory, he came down to earth and he didn't realize he brought the glory with him. He didn't realize that when he was in the light for all those 40 days twice, when he came back to earth, he brought the light with him. We need these people. We need men of God. We need women of God. They also bring God's mandates and instructions. Moses didn't bring on the people what he thought they should do. He came down off the mountain and said, look, folks, this is what God said. He came down from the mountain and said, look, this is what he wrote on stone. I was on the mountain last night, most of the night, and it took me most of the morning to write everything down. I make no apologies for God. What he brings down out of heaven is because we need it. And because he wants to rough us up a little bit and get us charged up and going again. And let us be a people who learn how to fight battles in this place and break open the atmosphere so heaven can come down and have his way. Listen, a long time ago, I learned that services don't belong to me. They belong to God. I don't have a right to do with them what I want to. I don't have a right to preach what I want to preach or sing what I want to sing. I'll sing whatever I prepare because you got to have a starting point. But you better hear from God halfway through that meeting or a third of the way into the meeting and start doing what he wants or you don't have a God meeting. People's lives aren't changed through liturgy. They're changed through an encounter with God. Father, I just ask you to call. Let us hear the clarion call this morning. The call that Moses heard. The call that the people were instructed to have to come up higher. I believe, Lord, that we need to visit the altar this morning. I believe that there needs to come a time. I know it's late. I know some of us might be hungry, but we need to be hungrier for something other than just natural food. We need to come to the altar. We need to say, God, I want a level beyond where I'm at. I want you to bring me into that place where I'm not just living for my flesh and living day to day for my own needs and my own things. I want to be used by your Spirit. And just cry out to God where you are. Realize that all the harshness that has happened in your life has happened because God loves you. And he wants to take you to a plane where you can walk in his glory. You can walk in his presence. You can be his. You can serve him in a hospital. You can serve him at your work. But God wants a whole lot more from you. If you will give him your heart. If you will allow him to work. If you would quit complaining over his dealings in your life. You would realize that they are there to make the man and woman of God you were destined to be. God has destinies being formed today. He has destinies that are coming back. He has destinies that are going to return. God wants your life. He wants your mouth. He wants your spirit. Give it to him this morning. Hear the call of the Spirit. It wasn't just a sermon. Hear the call of the Spirit. Come up. Come up. Come up beyond where you've been. Wake up. Come up. God's calling some of you today. God's calling some Joshuas today. God's calling some Moseses today. Some that have come to the end of yourself and think that you can't even be healed anymore. You don't even think that you can be put together again. Oh, I've got good news for you. God doesn't want you to be put together. He wants to flow through your brokenness and your undoneness. And while you stand there undone, God begins to mend broken hearts. God begins to move on people and make them good and make them right. And healing begins to flow. And the anointing begins to flow. The atmosphere begins to change and God begins to move. Just pray wherever you are. Just pray. Reach the Lord on your own. Learn to wait on the Lord. Learn to seek Him. Learn to respond to Him. This isn't a moment to come up, get prayed for, and fall out and get blessed. God wants more than blessing out of you. He wants your heart. He wants commitment. He wants consecration. He wants surrender. He wants a new level for you. He wants to impart Himself into you at a newer level. Give Him your heart today.
Give him your heart, just like you did the first day when you gave him your heart for him to come into. Give him your heart for him to use. Yes, just like you've given him your hands and your body for him to use in the church. And what a blessing that is to others. God's not going to stop there, Danny. God's going to move you into a new dimension because you've served with your hands tirelessly. And with the capacity that you have in the natural, God's going to raise you up in the spiritual. That's why you're up here doing business with God, because he's going to begin to do things through your life you weren't expecting. They're going to be things from the Spirit. You're going to be talking to people and things are going to come out of your mouth you never expected to come out of your mouth, because the Holy Spirit's going to use you. It's going to bring life-transforming things into people's lives. They're going to experience God while you're just there talking to them. You know, when you offer your body a living sacrifice, the sky's the limit of what God will do through you. Walk with God. Press through. Learn how to press through. Just like Joshua did. He stayed. He remained before the Lord. Oh, but it paid off. It paid off. Oh, yes, it paid off.
For my ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. For who could predict the way the wind will blow? Who knows the way he will go? For I am looking for a people that will listen to my voice and not any other, says the Lord. My thoughts are higher. My thoughts are wiser. My ways are better, says the Lord. I would set you free even this day from forms of religion that quench and hinder and bring opposition to the move of my Spirit, says the Lord. For it is only by the Spirit, it is only the anointing, that men will be set free. For even this day I have allowed a demonstration. I have allowed you to see that truth comes. Truth comes. Truth is revealed. Truth comes to set you free, says the Lord.